So, you know, everyone's been talking about the crypto markets lately, right? Like how things
Yeah.
have been moving upwards.
Yeah,
It
definitely.
makes you curious, like, what's actually driving it all, you know?
Right. You want to look beyond just the speculation part of it.
Exactly. It's like you want to kind of look under the hood and see what's really going on.
Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly what we're going to do in this deep dive. We're going to be looking at some analysis that was done back in like early April 2024. So like a year ago.
Okay, got it.
And specifically, we looked at an article from Bitcoin Platinum University.
Interesting.
And even though it's been a year since this analysis, it's really interesting to go back and see, what they thought was going to happen.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's kind of like a time capsule.
Yeah, exactly.
And it helps us understand like the dynamics of the market better.
Yeah, for sure.
So our goal here isn't just to say like, oh, prices went up.
Right.
It's more about understanding the factors that were like identified as, you know, contributing to that growth.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so let's jump right in. One of the biggest things that everyone was talking about back then was the Bitcoin halving.
Yeah, the Bitcoin halving, this is like, I think one of the most interesting things about
That's
Bitcoin is
cool.
this idea of scarcity, right? Built into the system.
Yeah.
And the halving is like a key part of that. So for people who may not know, basically what happens is roughly every 4 years, the reward that miners get for verifying transactions on the Bitcoin network, it gets cut in half.
Oh, okay.
So it goes down, and this automatically reduces the rate at which new Bitcoin enters circulation.
Oh, okay. I see. So it's like a forced kind of like reduction in supply.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like a built-in supply shock, right?
Yeah.
And the analysis that we looked at really highlighted the historical significance of this. Because if you look back, both the 2016 and 2020 halvings, they were followed by these pretty big price increases.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's like a pattern there.
Yeah, there's a pattern there.
Yeah.
And it seems like the market kind of anticipates this reduction in supply.
Right, they see it coming.
And investors start to position themselves accordingly. And a lot of this positioning isn't necessarily just buying Bitcoin itself.
Right.
It's a lot of derivatives, different kinds of financial products,
Oh, that's interesting.
but that all has a kind of ripple effect through the market.
Totally.
So the anticipation itself, in some ways, becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's almost like the expectation creates the reality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's so fascinating how that works.
And it's not just individual traders, right? It's also influencing these big investment funds.
Right.
The analysis, I think it really highlighted the fact that there was very strong bullish sentiment around the April 2024 halving.
Okay, so people were expecting big things.
People were expecting it to happen again.
Okay, so we have this like halving event, which is
Yeah.
like constricting the supply. But on the other side of the equation, the demand side was also seeing some pretty big changes, right?
Yeah. Definitely. And I think one of the big things that the article pointed to was this increase in participation from institutional investors.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so these are like your big financial institutions. And this is really, I think, a pivotal development in the crypto space.
Yeah, because it brings like a whole new level of legitimacy
Yeah,
and just
exactly.
resources, right?
Resources, yeah.
To the whole thing.
Yeah, and if you look at it in the bigger picture, I think the approval of Bitcoin ETFs earlier in 2024, that was a really big deal.
Oh, ETS, yeah.
Because before that, a lot of institutions, they were kind of hesitant to directly hold Bitcoin.
Right, because it was like so new and unregulated.
Yeah, but the ETF provided like this regulated, familiar way for them to gain exposure.
Yeah, and then they could just buy it like a stock.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's way easier.
And if you look at the numbers, I think it really reflects that shift. I think the article mentioned something like billions of dollars flowing into the crypto market after those ETF approvals.
Wow, billions. That's
Yeah,
crazy.
and it names some big names, BlackRock, Fidelity.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those are like the big players.
Yeah, these guys are actively accumulating crypto assets now. So it's not just like individual investors buying on exchanges, it's like serious capital.
Yeah, like long-term investors.
Long term. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's really interesting to see how that's like shifting the landscape.
Yeah. And I think this kind of mainstream adoption, it has a couple of important knock-on effects.
Okay, like what?
First of all, obviously, when you have this much buying pressure coming into the market, it's going to have an effect on price.
Right. It's going to push prices up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
But I think the second thing, which is maybe even more important, it's just providing this kind of layer of legitimacy to the crypto space.
Right. It makes it more acceptable for like the average person.
For the average person. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes it more accessible. Right.
Wow.
So it brings in this whole new wave of traditional investors.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that changes the sentiment. Like overall.
And just the sentiment from like, oh, this is risky or I don't know about this to like, okay, maybe this is actually a long-term thing.
Yeah, it's here to stay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about something that's kind of on a much larger scale, but definitely impacts the crypto market, the Federal Reserve, and their interest rate policies.
Right, right.
So the article also touched on this. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so basically the macroeconomic environment, right, the big picture, and this is set by central banks like the Federal Reserve, and this has implications for all asset classes, not just crypto, but crypto is definitely not immune to it. So what was happening back in early 2024 was the Fed had spent 2023 aggressively raising interest rates.
Okay, right, to fight inflation.
To fight inflation, exactly. Yeah. And the general expectation was that at some point later in the year, they would start to lower rates again.
Okay, and so the thinking there is that lower interest rates create like a more favorable environment for riskier assets like crypto.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a direct link.
Right.
But basically, when interest rates are high, more traditional investments, right? Like your savings accounts, government bonds, things like that. They offer pretty attractive returns with, you know, relatively low risk.
Yeah, it's safe.
It's safe, yeah. But if the Fed starts cutting rates, the returns on those safe assets go down.
Okay, so then people start looking for other places to put their money.
Exactly.
To get that return.
Yeah, so they start looking at things like cryptocurrencies. It's all about like the relative attractiveness of different investment options. And if you look back historically, periods of lower interest rates, they often coincide with growth in riskier asset classes.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's all about like where investors see the best opportunities for growth. So we've talked about Bitcoin, we've talked about the kind of macroeconomic environment, but the article also highlighted some really interesting things happening within the Ethereum ecosystem specifically.
Yeah, and I think what's really fascinating about Ethereum is that it's always evolving, right?
Yeah, it's constantly being upgraded and improved.
Exactly, and it's this bedrock for so many other things that are happening in the crypto space.
Yeah, like all the decentralized applications.
Decentralized applications, DeFi, NFTs.
All that. Yeah.
And at the time, Ethereum was actually preparing for a major upgrade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Called the Denken upgrade. And this was expected to go live in March of 2024.
Okay.
So it had already happened by the time we're talking about now.
Got it.
And the main goals of this upgrade were to make the network more efficient.
Okay, that makes sense.
But more importantly, I think, to bring down the transaction fees, which were, you know, kind of a problem for Ethereum.
Right, gas fees were a big issue.
Yeah, gas fees were a big issue.
Okay, so how did the Denken upgrade address that?
So the Denken upgrade implemented a technique called proto-dank sharding.
Proto-dank sharding.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But basically what it does is it creates this temporary, cheaper data storage on the Ethereum network. So you can kind of think of it like adding express lanes to a highway.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah. So specifically for transaction data. So it reduces congestion and it lowers the tolls, so the gas fees.
Okay. So that's a pretty big deal, especially for like the whole DeFi ecosystem that's built on Ethereum, right?
Yeah, for sure.
For anyone who might not know, DeFi or decentralized finance, it's like financial applications that are built on blockchain technology.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to like recreate traditional financial services, but in this decentralized way.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is that those high transaction fees, those gas fees, they can be a real barrier to entry, right?
Yeah, it makes it expensive to use.
It makes it expensive to use, and it limits how usable these applications are. So lower fees make the whole DeFi space way more accessible and more user-friendly, and it encourages more people to participate.
Yeah, for sure.
And what the article pointed to was this renewed growth in DeFi. So the total value locked in DeFi protocols, TVL, that was starting to increase again.
Okay, so people were putting more money into these DeFi applications.
Yeah, and that's a sign of confidence, right?
Yeah. Right.
More usage, more confidence, and that naturally supports the bullish momentum for Ethereum as the platform, right?
Because it's all built on Ethereum.
It's all built on Ethereum, exactly. So more users, more practical applications, that usually translates into higher prices.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So we've got this Bitcoin halving event that's like constraining the supply. We've got institutional money flowing in. We've got the potential for the Fed to ease up on interest rates. And we've got all these exciting upgrades happening on the Ethereum network.
Right.
But the crypto market's huge.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just Bitcoin and Ethereum.
No.
The article also talked about how an altcoin season seemed to be gaining momentum.
Right, yeah. And this is actually a pretty common pattern in the crypto markets.
Oh, okay. Like, what do you mean?
Historically, when Bitcoin has a really strong upward trend, some of those gains and the positive sentiment, it kind of spills over into the broader market of what we call altcoins.
Okay, altcoins, so like alternative cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, all the other cryptocurrencies besides Bitcoin.
Got it.
And the article, it identified some early signs that this was happening.
Okay, so an altcoin season was brewing.
Yeah, it was brewing back in early April 2024. And there was particular excitement, I think, around specific sectors within the altcoin market.
Oh, okay. Which sectors were people most excited about back then?
I think the big ones that the article mentioned were artificial intelligence, gaming, and decentralized applications.
Oh, interesting. So like specific use cases for crypto.
Yeah, exactly. And it even mentioned some specific altcoins that were doing really well at the time, like XRP, Solana, and Avalanche. Those were all seeing pretty big price increases.
Interesting. And the AI angle is especially interesting to me because AI was just starting to get so much mainstream attention around that time.
Exactly. And it makes sense that that enthusiasm would spill over into crypto, right? Because you have all these tokens that are focused on AI-related applications.
Yeah, like people want to invest in the future.
Yeah, and when you have these emerging technological trends, it creates a lot of hype and a lot of opportunity for investment. And the article specifically mentioned that these newer AI-focused tokens, they were generating massive interest from investors.
Okay, so we've got all these factors at play.
Mm-hmm.
The Bitcoin halving, institutional adoption, potential changes with the Fed, Ethereum upgrades, altcoin season.
Right.
It's a lot to take
in. It's a lot going on.
So the natural question is, was this upward trend likely to continue?
Yeah. What's the outlook?
Exactly. What was the outlook back then?
Well, the Bitcoin Platinum University article, it was pretty optimistic. It basically said that going into April and beyond.
Okay. And remember, beyond includes where we are today, right?
Yeah, beyond includes right now.
A year later.
So it was pretty optimistic about the crypto market overall. And I think the convergence of all these factors, the reduced supply of Bitcoin, the demand from institutional investors, the possibility of easier monetary policy from the Fed, the technological progress with Ethereum.
Right.
All of that contributed to a very bullish sentiment.
Okay, so people were generally feeling positive.
Yeah.
But of course, crypto is known for its volatility.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I imagine the article also acknowledged the potential for like short-term corrections.
Oh, for sure. It wasn't saying that it was going to be like the straight line upwards.
Right.
But it was basically saying that the underlying fundamentals of the market were strong.
Okay, so there were good reasons to be optimistic.
Yeah, there were solid reasons to believe that this upward momentum would continue.
All right, so let's recap everything for our listeners.
Okay, good idea.
Back in early April 2024, the upward trend in the crypto market, it wasn't just random speculation. It was actually driven by a bunch of very specific events and trends.
Yeah, a confluence of factors.
Exactly. The Bitcoin halving, which reduced the supply, the influx of institutional capital through new ETFs, the possibility of the Fed lowering interest rates, and all the technological improvements happening on the Ethereum network, which then also boosted the altcoin market.
Yeah, it's like a perfect storm of bullishness.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully this gives you a better understanding of like what was going on in the market back then.
Yeah, and it kind of leads to a really interesting question for all of you listening.
What's that?
Knowing these were like the big drivers a year ago, how have they played out?
Right, like what's happened since then?
Have they continued to be important? Have some of them faded away? Have new things emerged that weren't as prominent back then?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's like a thought experiment.
It is. It's about understanding how these markets evolve over time.
Absolutely. So thinking about those key drivers and think about everything that's happened in the crypto space since early April 2024, what new questions come to mind for you? What areas do you want to explore further?
Yeah, where do you see this all going?
Right. Really something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
It's been great.
Yeah, always fun to chat about this stuff.